Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Let's talk to the pros. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is Thursday, but you're listening to this on Friday because that's when we're dropping it. We're recording this on Thursday, though, so it's the game-by-game preview with Dan and Kyle. But first, as we almost always do, as we try to do, we're going to welcome in Dr. David Chow at ProFootballDoc on Twitter. His website is now sickscore.com, S-I-C, Sports Injury Central. If you go to ProFootballDoc.com, it'll still take you there. So no worry. But sickscore.com, and again, on Twitter, at ProFootballDoc. Doc, thanks for squeezing me in today. I know it's a busy time for all of us with the holidays. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, look, I'm getting tweets sent to me by my wife talking about Christmas shopping. So, you know,
I did see that, Doc. I fear for you when you see the bill is what I read that tweet as. But we'll see.
Injury analysis with Dr. David Chow.
We have to start with this, Doc, the COVID protocols, basically, because obviously you've got sort of the more widespread, whatever, you know, Omicron, whatever. So there's a lot of positive tests coming out right now. The NFL has changed its protocols for when players can come back. We get a million questions about it. So can you just shed a little light on what we can see every time we see a player test positive?
Yeah, happy to. And obviously, this is not political. It's just what is availability and
correct,
what is the current rules, et cetera. I'll open with this, Dan. The NFL made two key rules changes. One was loosening the ability, increasing your chances of testing out of the protocol if you're vaccinated. Last week, it was the second time they did that. And the other one is they got rid of last week for this past Monday, mandatory league-wide testing. We still had 46 people. If they didn't get rid of mandatory league-wide testing, we might have had 200, okay? And just minutes before this recording, I think there was another 46 today for
correct,
Thursday. I mean, from Dalvin Cook to Trevor Siemian and you name it. I mean, it's like a full-time job to take care of this. And we've got a handful of assistants at Six Score, and they're pulling their hair out, you know,
I'm sure,
trying to keep this straight. But they've done a really good job. So here's the thing. Despite the lack of league-wide mandatory testing, we still have this spike. And once you have the spike, teams that are in enhanced protocols get tested again and again, and it's still symptomatic testing and the whole deal. And this, thus we have this. So let's talk about who can return. Travis Kelce, for example, tested positive on Monday. Tyreek Hill on Tuesday of this week. Let's use that as examples. If you go by last week, and this is brand new, what's being tested in this Omicron and the new policy. Last Monday, there were 37 people that were on the list, 34 that we determined were not false positive, that were vaccinated, and thus have a chance to come off. 10 of those 34 came off, a tiny bit under 30%. So that's Travis Kelce's category. Now, could he, did he have a milder form? Is he asymptomatic? Could he be a little higher? Okay, fine. And look, if he has symptoms, he's not testing out. But just by the first and only week data that we have, 34 players on Monday, 10 of them tested out for Sunday. That's Travis Kelce's example, about 30%. Tuesday, there were 17 players that tested positive in this category. It was 5% of them tested out. Or there might have been 29 players. 29 players tested positive. Five of them tested out. So 17% of the Tuesdays tested out. And by Wednesday, it was only one player out of the 17, 5%. So it's just a small sample size, but Monday test out is almost 30%. Tuesday testing out for Sunday is 17. Wednesday is 5.
Jeez. Okay.
So it's far from a guarantee that Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are playing.
Right. Now,
those numbers are actually better than they used to be. It used to be, it was like a 5% chance you would test out if you tested positive on Monday. So they're better, but it's not a given.
So if anyone tests positive today, for example, we're recording this on Thursday, people are listening it to Friday. At that point, I mean, you basically probably have to make lineup decisions. A big thing, Doc, is people who have people playing either, you know, we're recording this on Thursday, but on the Thursday night game or the Saturday night game, or do they wait for Sunday? It sounds like, especially starting Wednesday, or Thursday in particular, like the overwhelming odds are that they're going to be unable to test out by the game time. Is that fair?
That is correct. But the other thing to be careful of now, and look, I'm not throwing stones or anything, but Dalvin Cook tested positive, and there's no report of this yet. But if Kirk Cousins, who's unvaccinated, is determined to be a close contact, 5 days, he's out for Sunday, period. He doesn't even need to test positive. So it's a crazy world right now out there in terms of a whole new level of for fantasy managers, right?
Yeah, well, as if there weren't enough, headaches to navigate when you get to the playoffs. Fantasy managers have to do the best they can, but that's great information, Doc, and it really clears up a lot for me. Let's talk about some player injuries here. Start with Mike Evans, because, you know, you hear week to week with a hamstring injury. To me, I was like, okay, that probably means multiple weeks, but he's not yet ruled out for this week, even yet. He hasn't practiced yet. Do you expect him to go? And if he does go, is there any chance he's going to be at 100%?
I don't think so. Look, when the big three got hurt, Godwin, Evans, and Fournette, I said at sixscore.com and other places that all three were more likely to miss the rest of the regular season than to have all three play next week. And Godwin, we know the news is not good. Fournette out for at least the rest of the regular season, maybe beyond. Evans week to week. Look, the only chance Mike Evans really has of playing is, remember early season last year? And we said, oh, he's not going to play. He's going to be a deep play. And he suited up and he had one catch for 2 yards. And I think it was a touchdown, right?
Yes,
I
mean, correct.
I mean, something to that effect. It's Mike Evans. He could do that. And maybe they need him to do that, right? And look, I just think it's interesting, if Godwin and Evans aren't hurt, is the decision different on Antonio Brown from the coach? Just a question. Just a question.
Yeah, I'd raise that internally with our analysts as well, what they thought about how that would have been. But either way, I'm going to be shocked personally if Evans plays. I want to talk about a couple of guys, Doc, who suffered their second concussions already this season. Teddy Bridgewater, who has essentially already been ruled out, but also Pat Freiermuth, who we got a lot. I guess really the question is, Doc, with the caveat that all concussions, of course, are different, what's the significance to you of the fact that this is their second concussion already, and for Freiermuth just a few weeks, but this season?
Well, here's the deal. This is when, to me, once Teddy got that second concussion this year, and the first one, he returned in 7 days. He played the next week. And same for Freiermuth. The second one typically happens more easily. Now, is it possible that the doctors determined that the first concussion and the second concussion were, quote, different types of concussion, and one was not predicated on the other, and we're really going to make the designation it was two singular concussions rather than a second concussion? Suppose that's possible. I'm not examining them. But the likelihood is, the rule of thumb we have is, first one you're out a week, next one you're out a month, third one you're out the season. Right? That's a that's a rule of thumb.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of individuality to it. So look, I'm not sure that Teddy Bridgewater is coming back this season, if you even go by that, right? Freiermuth, the reports have been more optimistic, but I still think the chances are very good that he's out this week at least.
How about Lamar Jackson, Doc? Obviously had the low ankle sprain, I believe he missed last week. He hasn't yet practiced this week. Obviously a big game here for the Ravens. Tyler Huntley came in and won people their fantasy matchup single-handedly, Doc. So do you think that Lamar Jackson is going to be able to suit up? And if so, again, do you think, given that he relies so much on his mobility, that he's going to be able to be, you know, effective in the game?
Here's the good and bad news on Lamar Jackson. Dan, you know me long enough. I don't die on a hill. If I'm wrong or wrong, if I get new information or new video or new reports, we switch. Look, I'm not examining these people, right? I mean, look at Chris Godwin. They examined him. They didn't think it was an ACL, and it turned out to be an ACL. So things happen, okay? I have said from the beginning on Lamar Jackson, I didn't see the actual injury. You saw the player's body go on his ankle. We assumed it was low ankle based on the boot, that it wasn't a high ankle sprain. That's all we had to go on. I thought it was a little strange that he didn't practice all the previous week. And on Sunday morning this week, in week 15, Adam Schefter said it's a bone bruise. It's not an ankle sprain. That fits. A low ankle sprain, you try and work your way through. A bone bruise, you rest to let it get better. He's rested last week. He's rested so far 2 days this week. I think he's resting again. Look, love Coach Harbaugh, and he can be optimistic all he wants. We really hope that, you know, that he can play this week. So do I, so do all fans, but that's not reality. Bone bruises take time. Let me tell you, next week is not guaranteed for Lamar Jackson, because this is only the second week. Next week would be the third. Look at the examples of bone bruises of other players around the league. I mean, so I don't think there's a chance at all that Lamar Jackson is going this week. At best, you're looking at next week at this point in time, in my impression. And it changed with the Adam Schefter announcement on Sunday. And our first look from Sunday night, we were starting to say, Lamar is not playing. Lamar is not playing. And it's starting to come to fruition.
Yeah. Hopefully more optimistic news here, Doc, with Joe Mixon, who had the ankle injury, but he did practice in full. If someone practices in full and they're battling, you know, a minor injury, can we just assume that they're going to be good to go this weekend?
Well, nothing's 100%, you know, especially if that full practice wasn't really that rigorous. I mean, look, we all remember, and we're probably all still shell-shocked by Joe Mixon last year dancing after his touchdown and then disappearing in the final 9 weeks of the season, right? So, you know, we're probably all a little bit on pins and needles there. But by video, look, he's got a knee bursitis. He's wearing that sleeve. He tweaked his ankle. It wasn't bad. It was about 2 minutes to go in the game, and he just didn't return. I think Joe Mixon is going to be okay. I think he's fine.
Doc, I don't remember too many times seeing a player ruled a game time decision on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday or something like that. But that's apparently what Matt Rhule did with DJ Moore and his hamstring injury. What are we supposed to make of all that?
Well, there's a lot of interesting things that go on in the world here. And look, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, don't you take it to Friday before you use that phrase? And look, you know, that's like one of the most often used phrases now. Everything's become a game time decision. And then it becomes a true game time decision. No, this is a really true game time decision, right? I mean, like, you know, the wordsmithing that's out there. Very unusual on Wednesday to determine it as a game time decision. But, you know, let me ask this question, Dan. What's more unusual, a head coach saying it's a game time decision on Wednesday, or a head coach having, quote, open tryouts right before a game for the kicker? I mean, I don't coach, but look, I know the time the coaches put in, the special teams coaches. Look, there's a kicker, a backup kicker, and an oh my God emergency kicker. There's a punter, and then there's a long snapper, a backup. Like, that could have happened to Zane Gonzalez in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, right. What are you going to do? Do all that on the sideline? I didn't understand that at all. I can't imagine that the Panthers special team coaches didn't have a plan already.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a circus. I mean, it was entertaining. That's for sure. But I've never seen anything like that in my life, that you know, kind of thing. So just interesting. That's all I can say.
It was bizarre to watch. Last one, Doc. Do you have any idea what is happening with Darren Waller? Because, I mean, it was the strained IT bend, which everybody, not just you, Doc, everybody seemed to suggest was a very minor injury, probably wouldn't keep him out for that long. It is radio silence. He's still not practicing. Any insight whatsoever on this?
Look, when I saw the video, I didn't think it was bad. It was a national reporter that said strained IT bend, and he's probably got good sources. The team or the player never confirmed that. To me, if it was strained IT band and just that, he would have been back by now. And the team also didn't put him on injured reserve, and now we're 4 weeks. So I mean, either something not right there. I mean, I will bring this up. Is it even the knee? Because he's listed as knee and back, right? I mean, is it even? Yep. They don't have to say. Something doesn't make sense right now, and people are asking me, and you know, one thing that I try not to do, Dan, is to guess or speculate. I mean, we try and give some informed opinions, but if I got nothing to go on, I got nothing to go on. I got nothing to go on here. If it's an IT band, he should have played. I don't know what's happening, but it'll make sense eventually. We just don't know right now.
Well, I greatly appreciate the transparency, Doc, because I feel lost on it and I don't know what to tell people, but you know, hopefully if they roster Darren Waller, they've had a backup for now, and maybe we'll see him before the end of the season. Doc, thank you so much. The holiday season, I hope you don't have a heart attack when you see whatever bill your wife shows you for all the Christmas presents. Go find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. Go check out his website. You can find it at ProFootballDoc.com or at SIC Score. I am there all the time checking out on players' injuries. It's an absolutely fantastic website that really gives you a ton of information. Doc, thank you so much. Have a great holiday season, okay?
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone.
All right. In the meantime, we'll be back in 2 seconds here with Dan and Kyle in the morning to break down every game from this weekend.
Dan and Kyle in the morning.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Yates, what's up? A very special Week 16 edition. How are you today?
I am doing great, my friend. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family. Getting ready for, obviously, to head down to Chicago. As soon as we finish this podcast, I'm getting in the car with the family and driving down to see my side of the family here for Christmas. So it should be fun.
That's great. This is going to be an all kicker edition. I hope it's okay with you, Yates, because to your chagrin, you are one of the most accurate kicker rankers in the whole biz, and I understand you've been getting a lot of questions about it, so how do you feel now? I did that 1 year, Yates. I think I was like fourth in kicker rankings, and there are a lot of kicker questions, so are you ready to give kicker advice for the next hour?
This is so ridiculous, because you guys on Monday, you and Joe, were like, hey, send all your kicker questions to Yates, and legitimately, my Twitter mentions are flooded with kicker questions. And the amount of time that I spend on my kicker rankings each week is like, I mean, I'd set the under at like 3.5 and I would smash the under, you know, like 3.5 minutes, I would smash the under. So yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for sending everyone my way for all those kicker questions.
You just got to trust your gut, man, and you're rocking the house. I will say that I probably spend like an hour each week on kicker, and you're more accurate than I am, so way to be. All right, so here's the deal with this one, guys. We're recording this on Thursday, so on Friday, there was going to be a lot of things that were going to change because we've got half the league here going testing positive for COVID or going on the reserve COVID-19 list. This is a Thursday, okay? This is going to drop on Friday morning, but we're recording this on Thursday, so we have even less information than possible. So take everything with a grain of salt. I will try to caveat everything if I can, but we're obviously a little limited here. But this is a game-by-game breakdown of the weekend. We have not yet seen the Thursday night game, so we will not be able to give a recap. But Yates, I really hope everybody who all of our listeners are relying on in this game did super well and that everybody is off to a great start. Lev, before we get into it, let me remind you guys, we are giving away a signed Alvin Kamara jersey. And let me just say this. If you are listening to us right now in week 16, then I take it that you've gotten a mild bit of value out of what we have done this year. And an easy way to show the support for that is A, leave a review for the show. That's not part of the contest anymore. Just if you have listened to it and you haven't left a review yet, leaving a review is an easy way to support the show. But if you want to try to win the signed Alvin Kamara jersey, just subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also an easy way to show some support. YouTube.com/FantasyPros. That's it. Then go to FantasyPros.com/contest. Super easy to do. You support the show and perhaps you win a signed Alvin Kamara jersey. Also, to get more advice from us, join our Discord over at FantasyPros.com/chat. I was telling Yates, man, there are a lot of people still alive in their playoffs, Yates, because I'm getting DMs nonstop here asking fantasy football questions. I try to answer all of them from our premium subscribers. Again, Discord's free for everyone to get into, but if you want to unlock all the different channels, you want to be able to DM me privately and ask me specific fantasy questions, you do have to be a premium subscriber to Fantasy Pros, not Discord, to Fantasy Pros. Get access to a ton of channels, AMAs with our analysts, live audio chats, all that. Again, fantasypros.com/chat.
The Fantasy Over-Under Challenge.
All right, Yates, we do not have the Thursday night game to recap, but we do have the Over-Under Challenge, which is sponsored by Caesars. Of course, fantasypros.com/challenge, completely free to play. 10 fantasy point over-unders, still weekly prizes. Even if you haven't played before, you can win a weekly prize. If you have been playing so far, keep it going because there is the season-long prize, the two-night stay at Caesars Las Vegas Resort, plus airfare. Again, fantasypros.com/challenge. Yates, are you ready for the Over-Under Challenge?
Let's go.
Justin Fields, your boy at Seattle, 16 fantasy points.
He has finished as a top 10 quarterback in each of his past four full starts here. He could have had a much more impressive performance if Jimmy Graham was able to reel in that touchdown, if Darnell Mooney was able to get his feet in bounds. I'm going with the over here for Justin Fields.
Yeah, I feel like your process was right there, Yates. You were pretty bullish on him last week, right? You had him at 11?
I had him at 11. He finished as 10. Yep.
Yeah, very well done for you. I will also go over here. I think as a fantasy asset, he is certainly sort of producing for fantasy managers at this point, so I like the over here. How about Tom Brady at Carolina, weapons in question, 19.9 fantasy points.
Yeah, just due to the weapons not having, most likely at Mike Evans, I haven't heard anything as far as him being ruled out, but all expectations are that he is going to miss this game. Obviously, we know Chris Godwin is out, so I will just play this one safe. I will take the under.
Okay, later, Yates, I'm going to be asking you, assuming that Lamar Jackson is out, if I should be starting Tyler Huntley or Tom Brady. We'll talk about that a little later. I will go with the under.
Welcome to week 16.
Welcome to week 16. Najee Harris at Kansas City, 14.8 fantasy points.
I got to take the under here with Najee. The way that this offense looked last week, I can't trust it.
Yeah, that was a pretty terrible performance. I agree with you. Dalvin Cook against the Rams, 16.2.
He didn't hit the over. He only finished with, I think, like 9 or 11 fantasy points last week. But, I mean, 28 total carries, like 27 carries. I will buy into that. So I will take the over here.
Yeah, I lean the over as well. It's a big number, but yeah, you got it with the workload. Dave Montgomery at Seattle, 12.1.
Seattle's actually a beatable run defense here and allowing plenty of fantasy points to opposing running backs, so I will take the over.
I like the volume that Montgomery is getting in the passing game in particular, so that was good to see. So I will also go over. Hunter Renfrow against Denver, 12.4.
Hopefully he doesn't see the Calvin Johnson treatment here where he is literally like triple teamed. I will take the over with Hunter Renfrow.
I will as too. I think he bounces back from that game. Amari Cooper against Washington, 10.7.
Great matchup. Can't trust the offense right now with how many receiving weapons there are. You just don't know where the ball is going to go. So I will take the under.
You got to go under here with Cooper. It's just been disappointing, that entire offense, really. Yep. Odell Beckham Jr., Minnesota, 9.7.
Minnesota allowing the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers this year. I think he bounces back here. I will take the over.
I am in agreement with you. How about Ja'Marr Chase against Baltimore, 12.3?
That secondary still, you know, missing a lot of key pieces. I will take the over.
Yeah, he had quite the game against them the first time. I agree with you there. And finally, Dallas Goedert against the Giants, 9.9.
I was super concerned heading into last week about Jalen Hurts being the starting quarterback and what that meant for Dallas Goedert. We had seen that he had some impressive performances here or there, but then it was Gardner Minshew that really unlocked him. And Jalen Hurts, he fed him the ball. 9 targets, 7 catches, 2 egregious drops. But incredible yardage production. I will take the over here with Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, I agree. He's the guy. You know, there may be concerns about Devontae Smith, but none now with Dallas Goedert. All right, we're going to get into every game for this weekend. Again, we've got COVID news popping up. Who knows if something pops up during this podcast? We will get to that. I will try to give caveats. Before we get into each game, let me tell you about DraftKings, which you guys know because you probably play DFS. But do you know about DraftKings Sportsbook, which is an official sports betting partner of the NFL? DraftKings is my sportsbook here in New Hampshire. It is fantastic. It is easy to use. Sometimes, you know, news breaks, I want to do something on the app. Super easy to place a bet there. You get paid right away. And right now they are giving you money because it's the holiday season. So why not? New customers can bet $5 on any of the 4 teams that are playing on Christmas to win their game. If they do win their game, the team you bet on, you win $150 in free bets. $150 on a $5 bet, all when you use our code Fantasy Pros. Now, if DraftKings Sportsbook is not available in your state, don't worry about it. You can still play DFS, where DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FantasyPros. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game. If they do, you win $150 in free bets. Again, if they win, you win with the promo code FantasyPros this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years or older, available in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum of a $5 deposit and a $1 wager is required, 1 per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Matchup previews.
All right, as I said, Thursday morning, even though you were listening to this on Friday. So again, we will do the best we can here. And let's start, Gates, on the Saturday games. Browns against the Packers. I assume, even though you probably have little confidence in your rankings at this point, and they'll be tweaked, that you're going to go ahead and go out on a limb and start Nick Chubb this week, correct?
It's a bold call, but yeah, I think I'll do it. I've got him at RB4 currently.
Are you starting anybody else on Cleveland?
I mean, we're probably going to see Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper back in the lineup. So Landry had been producing before going out on the COVID list and missing last week. So I think you can look his way as a low-end wide receiver 3, but really that's it. You know, if Austin Hooper with David Njoku back, Harrison Bryant back, like we just can't trust Hooper. So he's a dart throw tight end. Outside of that, like DPJ, I'm not looking at it. This is just an offense that I would prefer to look elsewhere outside of Nick Chubb locked into starting lineups. Kareem Hunt, maybe if he comes back, but that's like a high-end RB3 desperation play. Otherwise, Jarvis Landry is the only other one I'm looking at.
Yeah, it sounds like Hunt is not going to be able to make it back. I don't think there's anything definitive on it, but I think that's the early word, is that he's...
That was my expectation, but I haven't heard anything.
And officially, you wouldn't start Dearness Johnson, obviously. No. In that. Yeah. Okay. No. Yeah, I'm with you, by the way. I'm not exactly sure. I can't keep track of all the news. I've seen Hooper, I believe, has been activated. I think Landry has yet been activated from the COVID-19 list. It doesn't matter, really. Start Nick Chubb. Run away from everybody else. Like, I'm not even starting Jarvis Landry at this point. Like, if I'm in my semifinals, I've got to have better, right? So, I mean, I have him ranked in my early rankings 47th. So, okay. I'm just avoiding entirely. For the Packers, kind of the opposite. You're just kind of starting all your guys here. I mean, you're starting Aaron Rodgers. Of course, you're starting Devontae Adams. Now, Yates, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is on the COVID-19 reserve list. But this is how I'm approaching it, Yates. I don't know about you. In my rankings right now on Thursday morning, I'm ranking all these guys unless we know they're out, like Harrison Butker or Cole Beasley. I'm ranking them because of the revised protocol. So as of now, I think they can. Let's assume MVS is activated before Saturday. Do you want to start him in this matchup against Cleveland?
I think you can. I don't know if I would vault him up rankings to be like a top 24 play or a top 30 play or anything like that, but if you are looking for a way to be able to supercharge your lineup, I think that MVS is that guy where you can plug him into your flex spot and you can feel confident that he is at least, or not confident, but has the potential to take your lineup over the top with his, you know, with his big playability. They were feeding him the ball this past week. It could have been part of the matchup. It could have been, I don't know if you saw the screenshot of Devontae Adams literally having three guys lined up on his side of the field. And they were like, Baltimore was just like, make someone else beat us. And MVS did. I still think there's concerns there about which second receiver it's going to be behind Devontae Adams. Is it going to be Alan Lazard? Is it going to be MVS? I still have some concern there, so I'm not ready to move him up to a top 30 play, but he does have enormous potential.
Would you start MVS, let's assume he's active, or let's say somebody like Tyler Boyd Yates?
It depends on what I need, right? Do I need that supercharge for my lineup? Then I'll take MVS because I don't think Tyler Boyd brings that. But if I need that safe floor, like just the ability to be able to know I'm going to get, what, four catches, 40 yards, like I feel like then I can roll out Tyler Boyd.
All right. You are starting Aaron Jones. Are you starting AJ Dillon?
Dillon, it was interesting with the, I talked about the total opportunities in week 14 leading up to the week 15 game, right? Where AJ Dillon had 15 carries and Jones had just five. And then it kind of flipped this past week. So it's kind of really unpredictable with this offense. I don't know if I'm ready to trust AJ Dillon in my starting lineup, especially here in the semifinals. You probably have better options available to you. So Dillon is a high end RB3 for me. He's sitting at 25 in my rankings currently. That'll shift, that'll move. But he is someone that you can look at. However, there's a low floor if he doesn't find the end zone.
How about AJ Dillon? And again, Yates, I will make sure the caveat is out there.
Yeah.
It's Thursday. So we are fine tuning our rankings as we get into Sunday, of course. But as you sit here right now, AJ Dillon or Rashad Penny against your Bears?
I will play AJ Dillon in that situation, just going for the touchdown upside.
All right, Colts, and nobody else, by the way, on the, just to make clear, right? Nobody else in the Packers. I mean, if MVS sits, do you want Alan Lazard or anything like that?
I mean, I would move him up to like wide receiver 48. you know, like that's really where he would land.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I just want to make it clear. All right, let's go to the Colts at the Cardinals. Obviously, you're starting Jonathan Taylor, and you're starting Michael Pittman Jr., of course, right?
As a low-end wide receiver, too.
Yeah, that's, I will say that, like he's 22 for me, and that's good to hear that we're basically at the same spot, because usually you're about 40 spots
higher. He's at 20, so I'm definitely still higher, but
right. If you weren't higher on Michael Pittman Jr., we would shut down this entire show. Something has gone wrong. Anybody else in the Colts yet?
You really can't look at anyone else, unfortunately.
This is the correct answer for the Cardinals. Break down the running backs here for me, Yates. We were joking before lineups locked. We do this a lot, by the way, guys. We talk about our rankings, me and Yates and Pat and Joe, and we just be like, hey, what do you guys think of this and stuff like that? And I was fading James Conner last week without intentionally doing it. I just realized I was lower than ECR. That wound up working out, but it was just such a bizarre game, right? Like, I feel like Conner would have gotten the work had it been just normal. So what do you think right now about both these running backs, Conner and Edmonds?
Right. Such a bizarre game script last week where we really, again, like all of week 15, there's really, it's very difficult to like pull a ton of like actionable data from it and say like, okay, this is what we can expect moving forward. It was just one of the wackiest weeks of fantasy football I think we've ever seen. So with James Conner, I'm expecting more of a neutral game script here. I think this is going to be a good game to watch. But James Conner with Chase Edmonds back in the lineup, I'm assuming that Conner is going to be back to relative full health. I've got him at 17 on the week. So if you are starting James Conner, you are playing him with hopes that he finds the end zone, that he continues to do that. It's a tougher matchup. The Indianapolis Colts run defense is pretty good. So it's not like he's playing Detroit and then they're going to go up big and he had all those scoring opportunities. I bet I had James Conner as a top 10 running back last week.
Sure.
So I think that this is a situation where we play him as a mid-range RB2 and just hope that he finds the end zone.
How about Edmonds?
I don't think that we can trust him yet. I've got Edmonds at 33. You know, with this being week 16, I want to be playing guys that I have like guaranteed roles, guaranteed opportunities. And that's just not the case for Edmonds. Even in a game script last week where we, you know, kind of thought that, okay, Edmonds will see an increase in work in the receiving game because they're playing from behind. It just didn't happen. So I can't trust Edmonds here in my starting lineup. I've got him at 33 on the week.
Yeah, we're mostly in agreement. I also have Edmonds at 33. I have Conner, again, a little bit lower than you matchup, as we sort of talked about. And, you know, I don't know, man. I need to see what this is going to look like here with a normal sort of game flow. in a tough matchup. You're starting Kyler Murray, Yates. What receivers are you starting here for the Cardinals?
I will go with Christian Kirk. I've got him at 25 on the week. And then AJ Green is at 37. So someone that you can roll out there. But it's interesting with Green. Like, he just looks disinterested. Like, there was the Kyler Murray pick. I don't know if you saw it, but
yes.
Kyler Murray was like, come back to the ball. And AJ Green was just kind of like out there running, you know, he didn't come back to the ball. He just ran his out route flat. So I think with Green, it's just one of the things where you got to hope that he finds, you know, a crazy, you know, just 500 ball like Kyler Murray had to him last week for him to just continue to even hit like the 4-for-60 line or something like that. So Green, you're playing because you really don't have any other options. Rondale Moore, completely off the radar. It was so frustrating. They gave Antoine Wesley, a 2019 undrafted free agent, they gave him like 80% of the snaps. And Rondale Moore actually saw his snap count decrease. But that was because also partly that he had an injury. So I don't even know if Rondale Moore is going to play in this game. This point, it's Christian Kirk locked in, AJ Green potentially, and that's it.
And Zach Ertz just kind of locked in your lineup now, right?
11 targets off the top of my head last week. So yeah, you'll take that.
Yeah, he is seventh for me in my tight end rankings.
Exact same spot for me. Yep.
Definitely a guy you want to start. Lions visiting the Falcons. So many questions here for the Lions. Let's assume Goff, who's currently on the COVID-19 list, comes off the COVID-19 list. Which receiver, if any, are you starting for the Lions?
It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. At this point, he's locked into starting lineups. So we've got him at 22 on the week. So with his target volume, with what he is seeing through the air, and the matchup up against Atlanta, this is a smash spot for him. So I've got him locked into my starting lineup. Josh Reynolds kind of falls into that supercharged, you know, lineup kind of category there with MVS. So I've got him at 41. I think that you can play him because of the matchup and just for the hopes that he, you know, is able to reel in a deep catch and find the end zone, but that's really it.
Yep. Okay, what about if there is no Jared Goff, Yates?
I think you can still play Amon-Ra St. Brown, but you got to move him all the way down to like the Tyler Boyd category, Devontae Smith category, right? Like very little upside. Might see plenty of targets, but low upside.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, man, I would try to avoid him if there's no Jared Goff, which, by the way, is pretty funny that we're like, we need Jared Goff to have any value for this wide receiver. Running backs, Yates. I mean, we've got both DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams returning to practice here. Yep. You've got Craig Reynolds, the most unheralded, you know, running back who's just winning people their playoff weeks. So I guess everybody's active, Yates. Who are you starting at running back?
It's DeAndre Swift, and I will play him, assuming that he is active, then he is healthy enough to play, right? Detroit's going nowhere. Why would they rush back their starting running back unless he is 100% healthy? So I think DeAndre Swift would be right back into that high-end RB2 territory, maybe even, you know, with potential for more than that because of the matchup up against Atlanta. We just saw Jeff Wilson have a really solid game here against them last week. So I think DeAndre Swift would be the only guy that I would play at that point. If Swift misses, then I would kind of just say maybe Williams as a mid-range running back 3, and that's really it. Otherwise, I don't know what the rules are going to be between him and Craig Reynolds. So it's Swift if he plays. Otherwise, I would probably just look elsewhere.
I think I'd probably start Reynolds over Williams if I had to choose, if it's just the two of them, just because, you know, I assume Williams, who has been on the COVID list, you know, maybe his conditioning isn't there. Reynolds has kind of carved out a little role, but I would try to avoid them both. Basically, the only way I feel like you want to start anybody here is if Swift plays, you start him. And if Swift and Williams are out, then you can start Reynolds. But other than that, man, just
where would you rank Reynolds if we knew that Swift and Williams were out? Because I'm having a tough time with that one.
Is Goff playing?
Yes.
Game?
Yeah.
If Goff is playing in the game, I imagine that Reynolds is probably going to fall into the high-end RB3, like borderline RB2 range. Like I'm not going crazy with him at this point. You know, there's the running back situation, Yates, with everybody off a bye. With Devin Singletary suddenly being like a guy who you might want to start, right? With the Broncos guys going up against the Raiders, James Conner, Miles Sanders looking good if he's healthy.
Right.
There's decent running backs this week. You know, I wouldn't be running out of my way there.
Yep.
For the Falcons, look, we're still starting Cordarrelle Patterson, of course, right?
Is it just me or should he have had that touchdown last week?
Yes, I thought so.
Anyway, I thought so too. Like, so if we have that, you know, then we're not hitting the panic button on Patterson. So especially in this matchup against Detroit, yes, I will start Cordarrelle Patterson. I've got him at RB7 on the week.
And Russell Gage just kind of locked in your lineup at this point?
Man, did you see that Randy Moss catch
for
Russell Gage? Yes, locked into starting lineups. Got him at 28 on the week.
That's exactly where I have him. Yates, you are a known Kyle Pitts fader. What are you doing this week?
It's incredible that he is continuing just to, average a very high yards per reception, not seeing a ton of targets, kind of consistent with that 6 to 7 range, reeling in like 4 or 3 of them a game. But I mean, when you're averaging like 18 yards per reception, it can pay off. So very little upside to find the end zone. It's just ridiculous how he's only got 3 receptions in the red zone this entire season.
Yeah.
So Pitts is at tight end 8 for me. Safe floor, very little upside despite the plus matchup against the Lions.
Yeah, that's really the deal, man. You give him a couple of touchdowns and this whole season is viewed entirely
he's
differently.
He's got 847 receiving yards on the season and 1 touchdown.
I know. That's really it. I mean, I feel like people have been like, oh, what a disappointment. Like the yardage has been there. It's just the touchdowns, which is annoying. Okay, Ravens at the Bengals. Yates, let's start with the Bengals here, which we know a little bit more about, and we don't even know everything. Right. Start with the running backs here, Yates. It's looking good for Joe Mixon from everything I've seen with him. So let's assume Joe Mixon starts in this game. Are you comfortable starting him against a tough run defense like the Ravens?
Yes, I will downgrade him. I don't think that we can view him as a top 5 play. We don't know if he's going to be 100%. So he'd probably land around the RB14 range, RB15. It would be a tough decision for me between like Ronald Jones, Josh Jacobs, and Joe Mixon, like in that range. We can't view him as a top 5 play. He hasn't even been producing still over the past few weeks. He's been, he's been seeing an incredible workload still, but just not producing the same way that he was early on in the season. So can't view him as a top 5 back.
If Mixon is out, are you going to roll the dice with Samaje Perine?
You are playing Samaje Perine because you are absolutely desperate. You had Leonard Fournette and Joe Mixon, and both of them are out for this game, right? And so you have Perine. That's the only reason why you're playing him. He would be like RB30 in my rankings.
Yeah, it's receivers not named Tyler Boyd. Really disappointed here for the Bengals last week, but now you have a Ravens secondary that nobody knows or can name or anything like that. Are you going back to the well on, let's say, all 3, because you mentioned Boyd, all 3 of the Bengals wide receivers?
I think you have to. I think you, at least with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. So I have, again, I don't want to take a ton away from last week, right? Like this was just a bizarre week. So I've got Jamar Chase at 10, T. Higgins at 12 on the week. Like I'm turning right back around, assuming that I survived last week with both of these guys, or either of these guys, excuse me. Then I'm turning right back around and I am playing both of them.
How about Boyd?
Boyd is down at wide receiver 40 for me. I know that he was the one that produced last week, but I still think that the ball is going to go more towards Chase and Higgins. So I have Boyd at 40 on the week.
Yeah, it's Joe Burrow. What do you think? You've been riding him all year. You're here, but you also have Taysom Hill on your team. What do you want to do?
I have Taysom Hill at 9, Joe Burrow at 10. So super close here. That's a coin flip. I think that I would just play Burrow again. Taysom Hill playing on Monday night. It's a tougher matchup up against Miami. So I think I would probably just play Burrow there and lock up the points.
How about for the Ravens? We don't know yet about Lamar Jackson. He did not practice on Wednesday. We don't know what he's going to do on Thursday. But if Lamar Jackson plays, where do you think you'll have him ranked? If he doesn't play, where do you think you'll have Tyler Huntley ranked?
If Lamar Jackson plays, I would probably put him in that same territory that we just talked about with Taysom Hill and Joe Burrow as a low-end QB1. Because even when Jackson has been fully healthy, he hasn't really been producing top-tier numbers. Now, he has ridiculous upside, so we still have to account for that. But and that's why we would still play him. But I just don't know if we can rely on him as that like locked-in top-5 quarterback. So falling into that same territory, that would be a tough decision between Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson for me. If Lamar Jackson does not play, then I think that we at least have to look Huntley's way. I don't want to take necessarily a ton away from last week because it's one game, right? And we're in week 16, the second round of the fantasy playoffs. So again, I want like guaranteed options in my starting lineup, guys that I feel comfortable with. Huntley would probably crack the top 15 for me, but not much further than that.
Yeah, I think I'd probably be a little more bullish on him just because I do think that the rushing floor that he will offer. I mean, where do you have Taysom Hill ranked?
Nine.
Yeah, I wouldn't think there's that much of a difference between Huntley and Taysom Hill, you know, really going forward. So I'd probably have him as more like a top 12 sort of borderline. But yeah, it is tough. And I get a lot of questions about Huntley, who, if you were forced to start him last week, won you your week essentially on his own.
And actually, that's fair that now that I look at my rankings, like you have to play this game. Like, okay, would I rather start Huntley? Would I rather start? And Russell Wilson versus Chicago at 15 for me in my quarterback rankings. Right. I'm not starting Russell Wilson. I'll start Huntley. Jimmy Garoppolo versus Tennessee. There's a path there. Kirk Cousins against the Rams. Like, I'm not going near Kirk Cousins against the Rams. So I guess he would be a borderline top 12 guy for me.
That's the thing. It gets ugly, really, when you get past the top 12 this week because of either ineffectiveness or the matchup. So it's just something where you want to go. But obviously, you're starting Mark Andrews. How about Hollywood Brown here, Yates, who, you know, got a ton of targets, but just not the production? And again, doesn't matter if it's Jackson or Huntley.
I think that Marquise Brown, the days of viewing him as a top 15 guy are done. I've been talking about that for the past several weeks. I don't even know if we can view him as a top 24 guy anymore. So Marquise Brown would probably fall in the mid-range wide receiver 3 territory for me. You're hoping that he breaks away a long play, and that's really about it.
Running backs, it's obviously very disappointing if you were rostering and starting Devontae Freeman to see Latavius Murray basically take over the role. Are you starting either guy in this matchup?
I don't think that you can trust him. I really don't. So I think that this is a situation where you're playing him just because you somehow squeaked by with a win last week and you really don't have any other options. Devontae Freeman would still be the guy that I would go with, but I've got him sitting currently at RB 30 on the week right now. And then Latavius Murray, no, you can't trust that. I've got him down at 47 in my running back rankings.
That is the correct answer. Rams at the Vikings. You're starting Cooper Kupp, of course. You're starting Matthew Stafford. What about the running backs here, Yates? I mean, we all had Michelle ranked higher than Henderson going into the week. All of the analysts that turned out to be correct played out a little bit like I thought. How do you feel about both those guys this week?
I still think that it's Sony Michel that I want to roll with over Daryl Henderson. However, I am not viewing that as a locked in top 15 play. There's still the potential. I mean, Sean McVay came out before Monday and said, you know, this is a situation where we want to see the flow of the game and we want to see who's playing better and things like that. And those are just like nightmare words for a fantasy football player. So I think that Sony Michel, I've got him at 22 on the week currently. Daryl Henderson at 31. I think that you're rolling out Daryl Henderson because you don't have any other options. Sony Michel, you're playing, and there's the potential that he could finish as a top 12 back, but there's also the potential that we could see Daryl Henderson be the guy in this backfield. So I want to exercise a little bit of caution there with Michel.
Yeah, I'm a little lower on both of the guys than you just because, again, with the uncertainty, I try to basically rank it in a way where I won't be forced to start them. I mean, I have Michel at 23 and Henderson at 35. So it's close. But I'm trying to avoid them if I can. How about Van Jefferson and Beckham? Yates, I'm disappointed here in this matchup, but obviously Beckham had scored in a few straight games. Jefferson had been scoring touchdowns. Are you starting either or both?
I want to go back to Odell Beckham Jr. before Van Jefferson. Jefferson, 5 targets over the past 2 games. Like, that is just something that I can't rely on. And Odell Beckham Jr., again, I talked about it in the over-under challenge, saying that, you know, this is a fantastic matchup. So I'm still looking at both these guys. However, I will give the edge to Odell Beckham Jr. over Van Jefferson. I've got Beckham right now at 30 and then Van Jefferson at 35.
And Tyler Higbee, if he returns?
I don't think that you can trust him, right? Like, off 2 games, I just don't think that we can trust him in our starting lineups. But then again, once you get past the top 12 in tight end rankings, it's like, okay, am I really going to play Tyler Higbee or am I going to play Gerald Everett, you know, or Tyler Conklin? So I've got Higbee in that range where you can play him if you need to. However, I would look elsewhere if I can.
Yeah, I have him at 15. Minnesota's just very tough. This last game notwithstanding, Minnesota's generally very tough on tight ends. For the Vikings, you're starting Dalvin Cook. You're starting Justin Jefferson. I'm going to guess here, Yates, that Adam Thielen's going to play, given that
I think so too.
Okay, so how do you know? I don't know if he's going to be 100% though, Yates. That's what my worry is. It's like the worst case scenario, I feel like, for me. Yeah. Like, if you roster Adam Thielen going into this, I can't imagine he's just back out there full go. So what do you do with the guy?
I think that you can still play Adam Thielen, but maybe not as, you know, we were ranking him, what, top 15? Because of his touchdown upside, I don't think that we can view him there. So he would probably be a low-end wide receiver too for me. It'd be a tough decision between Adam Thielen and A.J. Brown coming back into the lineup, or Amari Cooper, right? Like, that would be a tough decision for me. Probably give the edge there to Adam Thielen because of his ability to be able to find the end zone and be targeted in that area of the field. So that's probably where I would go, assuming that Jalen Ramsey, you know, takes away Justin Jefferson. Then there might be more opportunity, but yeah, you're really playing him and just hoping that he finds the end zone.
Let's assume Thielen doesn't play. Would you start KJ Osborne?
No. Well, I'll say that as a boomer bust option, boomer bust flex. So he's outside my top 40. Assuming that Thielen doesn't play, he might move into low, you know, 30s, but yeah, really would prefer to look elsewhere.
Kirk Cousins or Tyler Conklin interesting to you at all?
Not really. Kirk Cousins, I mean, what, 87 total passing yards this past week, 50% of his passes. Maybe there is something to the primetime Kirk Cousins narrative, because, man, that was just abysmal. I mean, I started cackling at the interception that he threw. That was just like the 500 ball. But then seeing that the, you know, Justin Jefferson kind of got tripped up, I was like, oh, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But still, no, you can't look Kirk Cousins' way. I've got him right at 15 currently.
All right, let's get to the Bills and the Patriots. Start with the Patriots. Damian Harris is, you know, he is limited in practice at this point. Let's assume he does play. Yates, are you starting either Patriots running back?
If Harris is active, I think that he and Stevenson would move into, you know, low end or mid-range RB3, excuse me. So like they would be 27, 28 probably in my running back rankings respectively, like back to back these guys up against Buffalo. I think that, you know, we're not going to see Mac Jones throw the ball 45 times. We're also not going to see him throw the ball 3 times. So it's going to land somewhere in between. There should be enough work here, but I don't know if it's enough work to, you know, they've got to find the end zone to crack the top 20.
It's so tough because, you know, in that most recent game against the Bills, like everyone knew they were running. They ran the same play over and over and over, and the Bills just couldn't stop it. So, you know, maybe they just not quite as much, but you feel like they're going to pound the ball into the ground. Yeah. If you had to start one Yates, if they're both active, who would you start?
I'd probably start Harris.
Yeah, I would as well. Now, let's assume Harris is out. Where would you rank Stevenson?
Assuming that Harris is out, I would probably move Stevenson into the top 20. So probably just right above Rashad Penny, Sony Michel in that territory.
Okay. I mean, Kendrick Bourne's on the COVID list. Maybe he comes off, but regardless, would you start any other Patriot other than the running back? Or let's start with the receiver, because I asked you about Hunter Henry differently.
Sure.
Would you start any receiver?
Jacoby Myers as in that same territory as Tyler Boyd, but he's outside my top 40. You're just playing him because he's seen targets and that's it. And then, yeah, it's Kendrick Bourne is, you know, he's got to find the end zone to be able to crack the top 36. So I would prefer to look elsewhere other than these wide receivers.
Hunter Henry comes off the big game, finally more than just the touchdown dependent, though he did score 2. Are you starting Hunter Henry this week?
I think you can. I've got him at 11 on the week. However, this is on the back of Mac Jones throwing the ball 45 times. So I don't want to take a ton away from that. Again, I talked about it. I don't think he's going to throw the ball 45 times here again. I also don't think that he's going to throw the ball 3 times like he did last time they played. So kind of falling somewhere in between there. Hunter Henry, again, should be involved around the red zone, but I'm not expecting the target volume that he had this past week and expecting that moving forward.
It just gets a little ugly at this point. I haven't been starting Henry all year, but it gets a little ugly at this point once you get down, right? You know, when you've got no Darren Waller, it just pushes everybody down. So, yeah, he's a guy's like a low-end start for me. For the Bills, you're starting Josh Allen. You're starting Stephon Diggs, Yates. How do you feel about Gabriel Davis, no Cole Beasley, and you love him. What do you got?
Yes, we have to start Gabriel Davis this week. No Cole Beasley to take away those targets, and Emmanuel Sanders returned to a limited practice on Wednesday. That was the
I don't
last
think he's going
to
go.
I saw, so I don't expect him to go. If both are out, then Gabriel Davis becomes a very, very intriguing play because you got J.C. Jackson most likely going to take away Stephon Diggs. And then Gabriel Davis, I mean, he's got the potential to be involved around the red zone again. The potential is enormous. So, yes, I will start Gabriel Davis.
Dawson Knox, Yates, just in your lineup?
Yeah, at this point, again, we're talking about Mike Gesicki and Hunter Henry and Tyler Higbee, you know, in that like low end tight end one range. Then, yes, I will start Dawson Knox. I've got him at 5 on the week still.
Especially without Beasley, certainly. That opens things up a little bit more for Knox. Yates, we saw a running back not only get a lot of work, but just dominate the snaps and dominate the touches, and that was Devin Singletary. Zach Moss was a healthy scratch again. Matt Breida didn't factor in. Are you trusting him here against the Patriots?
Devin Singletary, off the top of my head, 93% snap count share this past week. Matt Breida, 4%. So it looks like we finally have a running back here in Buffalo that we can trust, and trust means I've got him at 29 on the week. So yeah, I mean, this is still a volatile situation. It's up against New England. This is a very tough matchup. We don't know if Buffalo is going to commit to the run game. We can't trust Singletary as anything more than a mid-range RB3.
Jaguars at the Jets. I'm sorry that we have to talk about this. I guess started with the Jets.
I think you're good. All right, we'll move on.
Are you starting Michael Carter after he disappointed last week?
All right, so here's the thing with Michael Carter. I would prefer to just leave him on my bench. I've got to make this decision in the league. I would prefer to leave Michael Carter on my bench. However, He plays Jacksonville. So the scoring potential here is enough to make me interested in him. I've got him at 28, one spot above Devin Singletary currently.
And why Michael Carter? I have it the same way, but why Michael Carter over Tevin Coleman, who basically got the same work and was more effective?
Yep. I just think that Carter, another week removed from the injury, you know, back into the flow of the game, I think that he's going to eventually start to take over this backfield again, because we had seen that, right? We had seen that he was the unquestioned RB1 in this backfield before the injury. So I'm starting to at least believing that that will be the case. But yeah, there's definitely the potential that Tevin Coleman is the guy who finishes above Michael Carter this week.
Start anyone else in the Jets, Yates?
No, I mean,
you're asked that. No. The answer is no, obviously. Uh-uh. Sorry, I shouldn't even have asked that. Yates, James Robinson or Najee Harris this week?
James Robinson. I've got James Robinson at 6 on the week.
Yep. This is great. I love it if you made these semis and you have a Robinson on your team. Yates, start anyone else on the Jaguars?
Laquon Treadwell as a low-end flex option. In your semifinals, most likely not. And then, I mean, if you lost Darren Waller, if you are dealing with Travis Kelce on the COVID list, like, and you need someone off the waiver wire, you can look at James O'Shaughnessy, but that is, like, I've got him at 19 on the week, just for context there. So that is purely a replacement option, someone on your waiver wire that you can look at and at least feel comfortable starting.
Giants at the Eagles, starter sit Saquon Barkley.
I will still start Saquon Barkley. I've got him at 18 on the week. So I still think that you can look his way. However, Saquon is being outproduced by Devontae Booker in this same backfield. Barkley is just, his production and efficiency is abysmal at this point.
It is terrible, and I have him ranked at 17. So, like, it just, you know, with the volume, anybody else in the Giants, Yates?
Anyone else on the Giants? No. Are playing this like we're not ready to name our starting quarterback.
It's a competitive advantage.
You're going to be starting either Mike Glennon or Jake Fromm. There is no competitive advantage. No, that you can't look anyone else's way.
All right, for the Eagles, let's assume Miles Sanders is healthy, because again, he was sort of out at the end of the game. They were winning. You assumed they were just resting him, but he was estimated as a DNP on Wednesday. Assuming that Miles Sanders is healthy, has he earned your trust to start in this matchup?
He has. I've got him at RB21 currently, and that's kind of just accounting for the injury, the question marks around this backfield for right now. But there's a potential that he rises above, like, Saquon Barkley, right? Like, am I going to play Miles Sanders or am I going to play Saquon Barkley? I'll probably play the guy who's producing right now in Sanders.
Yep. And Yates, I mean, even you must admit that Jalen Hurts now pretty much has your trust, correct?
It did not look good for the first little bit of that game, but yes, I think that at this point, yes, his touchdown, how many rushing touchdowns is he up to on the year? It's got to be like 15 at this point. I haven't looked, but it's ridiculous. Yes, you play Jalen Hurts.
And we already talked about Goddard. How about Devontae Smith here, Yates? This was the downside, right? It's like, great if you can produce every single week with 6 targets. Now you're getting like 4 targets, and yep, it's just not happening. What are you doing with him this week?
In weeks 9 and 10, Devontae Smith had 41 combined fantasy points. In his 4 games since, he has 20 combined fantasy points. He has not been producing. This is a situation where I have Devontae Smith at 39 in my wide receiver rankings. Tyler Boyd at 40. Like, that's the range right now. So, yes, I don't think that we can really confidently look Devontae Smith's way. And I will say, with Jalen Hurts, let me double back, because I've got him at 7 on the week. So he's not a top 5 play for me, because we're accounting for the fact that the last time that he played the New York Giants, he had an absolutely abysmal performance. So just got to kind of take that into account.
I should, I guess, ask the question, just because, again, we're assuming Miles Sanders is fine, but just in case he's not, let's say Miles Sanders somehow, injury is actually significant, he has to miss this game. Who or anyone would you start at running back for the Eagles?
I would turn to Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard would be the guy that I would go with, especially guaranteeing that first and second down workload. So yes, I would go with Jordan Howard.
And he'd be a start for you, right?
In this game. He'd be a top 24 play.
Bucks at the Panthers. Let's start with the Panthers. Are you starting a running back, not named Cam Newton, a running back for Carolina here?
No. You can't look at this backfield.
Okay. DJ Moore, I hope he's healthy. Assuming that he's healthy, Yates, are you starting him here against the Bucks?
I think that you can just as a high floor play, but I mean, I've got him at 29 on the week. So this is really a situation where all upside is shot with DJ Moore. It's unfortunate. I want to see him connected to a solid quarterback because he could be a top five fantasy asset, but it's just not happening here with Cam Newton's going to be our starter, but Sam Darnold's going to play. Like, what is Matt Rhule doing? This is just ridiculous. So no, you can't trust DJ Moore anything more than a mid-range wide receiver three.
It'd be great to see more with a real quarterback at this point. And you're not starting Cam, right?
No, but there is always the potential that he finishes as a top five fantasy quarterback. But that's more of a QB2 in super flex formats with a wide range of outcomes.
Tom Brady with limited options. Maybe. I am not expecting Mike Evans to play. I don't think you deem a guy week to week and then say, by the way, he's going to suit up this week. That's just not how it works. So I'm ranking Evans right now. Because I just, you know, I'm going to put him in there, but I'm going to assume for purposes of this discussion that he's not going to play. Are you starting Tom Brady without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, obviously?
Yes, you can still start him. However, we can't expect top five production. So I've got him at QB8 on the week. It would be a tough decision between Taysom Hill, Joe Burrow. You talked about the Tyler Huntley, you know, dynamic. That would be a really interesting decision to make. Do you play Tom Brady against Carolina? Do you play Tyler Huntley? If you want to go for the swing for the fences play with Tyler Huntley and his rushing upside, then I think Huntley might be the play.
I may be in that position in the semifinals of a league, and I'm actually considering Huntley. I don't know what I'm going to do if it gets to that, but we'll see. Yeah, he's still a start for me. And again, it is different for me when in the middle of a game, everybody gets injured, as opposed to we know everybody's injured. Right. Let's be able to prepare for it coming in. I do think that things will be a little bit better.
You know, he's going to have Antonio Brown back. He's
correct.
Still got Rob Gronkowski. Yes. Ronald Jones can move the offense, you know, on the ground. So like, it's not like he lost everyone around him.
Yeah. Let's assume Mike Evans plays in this one, Yates. Would you start him here?
Low end wide receiver two. You're hoping kind of same thing as Adam Thielen. Like you're hoping that he finds the end zone, and that's really the only way that you feel confident playing Mike Evans.
You'd have to also assume that the risk of re-injury is so high at this point for Evans. How about if he doesn't play? Are you starting, or if he does play, I guess either way, Yates, Antonio Brown as he comes back here?
I think that you fire up Antonio Brown. If you've held on to him this entire time, then congratulations. I've got Antonio Brown at 15 on the week. Bruce Arians coming out saying that AB looks like he did before the ankle injury or the heel injury, whatever that was. I think that Antonio Brown, I mean, he's at wide receiver 15 for me. You have to assume that the ball is going to go his way.
Mike Evans is out. Pretend. Are you starting any other receiver other than Antonio Brown for the Bucs?
They're desperation plays. Like you're looking at Tyler Johnson as the next guy up there. But I mean, Johnson at this point, you can't expect any like splash plays. You can't really expect a ton of production. You're hoping that he finds the end zone. He's in the same territory of like Josh Reynolds for me.
How high does Ronald Jones rank for you this week, Gates?
He is currently at 14 on the week for me.
Ooh, okay. I'm higher. I'm at 9. Let's go. Ooh, let's go, Ronald Jones. Ooh, until he fumbles, and then we see Le'Veon Bell for, you know, 25 carries or something like that. Yes, start Ronald Jones at least this week. Chargers at the Texans. Man, we have one guy that we want to start on the Texans, and he's on the COVID list. Is Brandon Cooks. Assuming he comes off, Yates, you are obviously starting Brandon Cooks, even though it's not the best matchup or anything like that, correct?
Yeah. Tougher matchup. He'd be a low-end wide receiver, too, for me.
With Brandon Cooks in, without Brandon Cooks in, are you starting anybody else here on the Texans?
Absolutely not.
It's my favorite team to do in these previews. It's because we can do it.
I love writing them up for the primer. That Jacksonville, New York, and then the Houston game. Ooh, those games flew through right in the primer this week.
All right, the Chargers, Yates. Again, Austin Eckler, after some uncertainty, was actually placed in the reserve COVID-19 list. So, again, if he's in, you always start Austin Eckler. If he's out, did Jackson do enough to make you feel like you can start him in a game against Houston?
Oh, man. Again, you mentioned it. Like, there are so many good running back options. Like, there's some pretty good depth here with everyone off of bye weeks, a lot of players returning. So it just comes down to, like, in your semifinals, are you really going to be playing Deontay Foreman or, you know, Justin Jackson or Jeff Wilson or Justin Jackson, AJ Dillon, like that's the conversation. That's the question. That's a really difficult decision for me to make. I would probably put Jackson behind those guys, but there is potential for him to, you know, have a very, very solid game just based on the matchup.
Yeah, I'm entirely with you. And I'm forced into basically, thankfully, the only league where I'm going to potentially start him is the league where I have Eckler. So like there, and there's nobody else. It's a 14-team league. So I don't really have many decisions to make. But yeah, it's tough because you could see him sort of starting out and then just Josh Kelly gets the goal line work again, even though he fumbled, and maybe Larry Rountree is active and factors in, so who knows. The receivers, Yates, are you starting both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams?
Yes, I'm starting both of them. Keenan Allen is a locked-in starter. He's at 7 on the week for me. Mike Williams, you got to just consistently rank him as a low-end wide receiver too to account for his wide range of outcomes. He can finish as a top 12 option. He can finish outside the top 40. In this matchup, though, you got to start Mike Williams.
Justin Herbert or any other quarterback in fantasy?
I will take Justin Herbert. I've got him at QB1 on the week.
That is the correct answer. How about Jared Cook, Yates? Donald Parham's not going to play, of course. And Jalen Guyton, by the way, also on the COVID list. So we've got that. Are you starting Jared Cook here?
I will turn to Jared Cook if I have Travis Kelce. Like, if I have Travis Kelce in the league currently, and I don't know if he's going to come off the reserve COVID list, then I will go pick up Jared Cook right now because I think he's a fine pivot option. So I've got him at 15 on the week currently. Again, it's up against Houston. This is a great matchup. I think that you can look his way.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's go to the Bears at the Seahawks. Yates, let's assume Tyler Lockett comes off, obviously, the COVID list, which I think we can. Are you starting both him and the just perpetually disappointing right now, DK Metcalf?
I will start Lockett for sure, in that it would be a tough decision between Antonio Brown, Tyler Lockett. So in that range. And then DK Metcalf, man, seeing the targets, but it's not happening. Like, it's just ridiculous. And the way that he's being utilized in this offense is really disappointing. So Metcalf would be a low end wide receiver too. Tough decision between his old Ole Miss teammate there with A.J. Brown. You know, do I play DK Metcalf? Do I play A.J. Brown? And that's just kind of where we're at.
You know, thankfully you have to make the decision before you listen to this. So that's good there. For the running backs, Yates, I mean, DJ Dallas, obviously, sort of, other than kicking the ball and getting that penalty, you know, had the bigger game. Rashad Penny, you know, he had a number of runs, Yates, where that looked great, all called back by holding, sort of. So are you starting any Seahawks running back here?
I would prefer not to. I would prefer to roll out guys like Jeff Wilson, A.J. Dillon. I mean, even Ramondre Stevenson, if Damian Harris doesn't play, like Michael Carter over Rashad Penny, you know, is that's kind of the question. That's the range that Penny needs to be in. So, with Dallas here starting to show something, I just don't know if we can trust Penny in our starting lineups here in week 16.
Also, I mean, we might get Alex Collins back as well, obviously, to further muddy the waters as well. Gerald Everett, Yates, any interest?
I mean, I've got him at 16 on the week. So desperation pivot. If you can't get Jared Cook or Tyler Higbee or whatever, then you can look at Everett.
I have to imagine that if you roster Russell Wilson, you're either out of the playoffs or you have been starting somebody else here, right? So let's assume you made it. Would you start Russell Wilson this week?
I've got him at 14 on the week, so he's going to show up as a start on our YouTube channel here. But man, I do not feel confident in that. Once you get outside the top 10 quarterbacks, it's crazy. Like, we felt really good about the quarterbacks just a few weeks ago, and now it's like, oh man, this is rough. So if I've got Tyler Huntley, I will start Tyler Huntley over Russell Wilson this week.
How about the other quarterback in this game, Justin Fields or Russell Wilson?
I've got Fields at 12, so I will start Fields.
You're starting David Montgomery. How about Darnell Mooney, Yates? I felt like it was so close to being such a nice game for Mooney in this last one. Left a lot on the table. Not really his fault. Where do you have him ranked this week?
I will definitely start Darnell Mooney. I've got him at 34 on the week currently, and I feel like that needs to rise up. So I will move him up as we get closer to Sunday. But yes, Mooney, definitely a lot closer to having a big game. I think that Allen Robinson's going to be back for this one. He could steal some of those targets. So a little bit of concern there with Mooney, but the upside is definitely there.
How about Cole Kmet?
In that same range that we just talked about with Jared Cook, Tyler Higbee, I've got him at 14.
Steelers at the Chiefs. Let's start with the Steelers. You're starting Najee Harris despite the disappointing game. You're starting Deontay Johnson. Are you starting Chase Claypool?
Tough to go back to Chase Claypool after last week. I've got him at 38 on the week. Tougher matchup here against Kansas City. You know, this is an offense that I really don't know if I want to buy into. It looked like we could have bought into it, and we should have been buying into it. And then it just, like, capsized this past week. So Claypool is at 38 for me.
I'm going to assume Pat Freiermuth is not going to play in this game, right? Because of the concussion. Assuming he plays, Yates, would you start Pat Freiermuth?
I think you have to if we're talking about, you know, Jared Cook and Cole Kmet. Like, I'll start Pat Freiermuth if he plays.
If he doesn't, do you have any interest in Zach Gentry?
No, not in week 16.
And you're not going to Big Ben here, right?
No,
in your playoffs?
No, absolutely not. I've got Ben outside my top 15, well outside my top 15.
For the Chiefs, everyone has COVID, so I don't know exactly what to do. Obviously, let's hope that that Travis Kelce comes off the list. You would obviously start him. Let's hope Tyreek Hill comes off the list. You would obviously start him. Let's talk about receivers, Yates, in case Tyreek Hill and, if you want to do Travis Kelce, both of them, do not come off the COVID list. What would you do here? Which pass catchers would you start?
I really don't know if you can confidently start any of them, right? Like, because we just don't know who that next guy up is. It's been Byron Pringle as far as the target share, but and then Mecole Hardman has had some games, and then it's been, you know, Josh Gordon has gotten a touchdown. So with how concentrated this offense is on Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, that's great for fantasy purposes, but then it doesn't leave enough evidence behind them to be able to signal, okay, this is the next guy up, right? That target distribution is so uneven past those two guys. So this is a situation where Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, whichever ones are active, like, you're starting them because you don't have any other better option, and it is a complete dart throw. We have no idea how it's going to shake out.
No Travis Kelce, no Tyreek Hill. You're still starting Patrick Mahomes?
Yes, he would be a mid-range QB1 for me. I would have a tough decision between him and Tom Brady, honestly.
Okay. How about Clyde Edwards-Helaire here? Disappointing game, the most recent one.
Yeah, I mean, but that was half the NFL last week. So CEH at RB16 for me. A great match up against Pittsburgh. Yep. You know, like, and especially, too, if we have Hill and Kelce out, then we could just see them completely lean on the run game and just take advantage of that. So I've got CEH in that same range as like Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs, Ronald Jones. I'd probably play Ronald Jones over CEH, but I'd probably play CEH over Joe Mixon and Josh Jacobs.
Sounds good to me. Let's go to the Broncos at the Raiders, Yates. Start with the Raiders. Josh Jacobs. Everybody hates Josh Jacobs. I always feel like I recommend him as a start, and I feel dirty doing it. But would you start Josh Jacobs here?
I've got him at 17 other week, so he's still a start for me. In that like last tier of locked in starters, where we know what their role is and that they're guaranteed volume, but not much upside.
How about Hunter Renfro? No issue. Obviously, a down game last week, but you're clearly firing him up here, right?
Yes, I've got him at wide receiver 14 on the week. It was just crazy last week. Like, I had this sleeper bowl team was just loaded. Justin Jefferson, Hunter Renfro, Jamar Chase. Like, it was just loaded, and none of them came through.
Was this the one where you took on A.J. Dillon?
Yeah, and I lost to A.J. Dillon, yeah.
Oh, man, yep. he was busy on Sunday. I know. Wasn't even checking his lineup.
I know, he's just crushing life, scoring NFL touchdowns and beating me in fantasy football.
Way to be, A.J. Dillon. So I'm going to assume Darren Waller is not coming back here. I don't even know what this injury is because strained IT band is like a one-week injury, so I don't really know. He's not on IR, who knows? But if it's Foster Moreau, Yates, we finally saw some signs of life. Would you go back to the well with him?
I would not. Not in week 16.
All right. Nobody else here for the Raiders, correct?
Correct.
Okay. For the Broncos, start both running backs?
Yes, start them. However, you can't view them as like top, you know, smash plays. So Javonte Williams in that same range is like CEH, Joe Mixon, Melvin Gordon a little bit further down for me. But both of them are solid plays based on the matchup, but just not like smash plays.
Okay. We've got Drew Lock starting here. So we have been basically fading every pass catcher on the Broncos now for a while. Are you willing to start any of them here against the Raiders?
No, you can't. Not in week 16. If this was a different week, like, this would be one that you'd be able to hold on to Courtland Sutton and see if Drew Lock can get him back going. But no, not here with Drew Lock. Just the recent track history. No, we can't start him.
I would say that the tight ends are mildly more intriguing to me than they were with Teddy Bridgewater, right? Just because of what we saw with Lock, but it's still not something where I'm running out to necessarily do. Washington visiting the Cowboys. Start with the Cowboys here. I mean, Zeke, just the most uninspiring, right, like, you know, fantasy performance. But if you have Zeke, I assume you're still starting him, right?
Yes, I've got him at RB12 on the week. So you're starting Ezekiel Elliott.
How about Tony Pollard? Went from like, oh, I've partially torn plantar fascia to just looking so much better than Zeke out there. Are you starting him in a pinch if you have him?
I got so many questions about Pollard on the Sunday morning live stream, and I was like, no, we can't start Pollard. Like, he's going to get a dozen snaps. Like, you know, there's that report that we don't even know what his workload's going to be. He's going to be active. And then he just comes out here and is like ripping off long run after long run. I was like, cool. That sounds about right. Yeah, Tony Pollard for me will be in that same range of like Devin Singletary, Michael Carter that we talked about earlier. Someone that you can look at if you're in a pinch, but you most likely have better options.
Yeah, it's the receivers. Just the whole offense just is like disappointing right now, but it's against Washington. So I guess break down the receivers for me. Are you starting all three of them?
Again, I don't want to take a ton away from week 15. There's a little bit more here to look at with Dallas. You know, it's kind of disappointed over the previous weeks, but I don't want to just completely drop these guys in my rankings. So CeeDee Lamb, still a top 10 play for me. I'm still playing CeeDee Lamb. Amari Cooper is he's at 26 for me. Then Michael Gallup at 36. So Lamb is still the guy that I will go with here. It's a plus matchup against Washington and their secondary. I think that we can still look CeeDee Lamb's way. But other than that, you know, I think there are better options that you can look at before Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup.
Dalton Schultz locked in your lineup.
This is ridiculous. I finally fade Dalton Schultz. And I point out that he hasn't really done anything over the past several weeks. And then last week, again, he just puts together a dominant performance. It's ridiculous. So I've got him at 9 on the week.
To spite you, Yates. That's how it
100%.
Works. Dak Prescott, Yates, been disappointing here for a little bit.
Definitely has been. But, I mean, who are you going to start? Who are you going to turn to? Like, are you going to go with Russell Wilson? Or are you going to go with Dak against Washington? You know, so I've still got
Dak. How about Joe Burrow?
I will play Joe Burrow over Dak Prescott. I've got him at 10, Prescott at 11.
Okay, there you go. So that's where he is. For Washington, let's assume Antonio Gibson's okay here. You know, he does come through for fantasy managers with the touchdown. He obviously was battling the toe injury, but he kind of played through it. Would you start him here against Dallas if he goes?
Yes, yes. I've got him at 10 on the week.
If he does not go, do you have any interest in, you know, a backup running back here for Washington?
Jarrett Patterson would get the nod for me as that guy. But, I mean, again, in week 16, are you really going to be trusting Jarrett Patterson? So
no, or Williams. It's just going to be a split between them anyway, right?
Okay. So, yeah, this is a situation where I would still give the nod to Patterson over Williams, but not to the level where I'm, like, confidently starting Patterson.
If you are a fantasy manager who rosters Terry McLaurin and you made your playoffs, I'm very, very proud of you. Would you start Terry McLaurin in this matchup, Yates?
I've got him at 32. I had him at like 37 this past week. So, I mean, no. I mean, like, still, yeah, like, yes, he's going to qualify as a start. But, I mean, am I going to start Devontae Parker? Am I going to start Terry McLaurin? I would probably lean Parker.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I love Terry, but not a great situation. Taylor Heinicke was activated off the COVID list today, by the way, as we record this. Nobody else on Washington, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Dolphins at the Saints. Yates, starter, sit. Any Dolphins running back?
Sit them. Like, sit them all. Yeah, you can't play this game with Miles Gaskin, with Duke Johnson, up against the New Orleans Saints run defense. You cannot play this game.
That is correct. I will avoid it, and it gives me an excuse to not have to recommend either one of them this week. Jalen Waddle's back off the COVID list. Both wide receivers here, Waddle and Devontae Parker. How do you feel?
Yes, Waddle at 16 for me, and then Devontae Parker at 32. So both are definitely starts for me. But Waddle, I mean, I'm so excited to get him back in the lineup.
Yeah, ditto. Mike Gesicki, Yates.
Yeah, again, like when you look at the tight end rankings, like, are we going to be playing Noah Fant or Mike Gesicki? I'll still take the shot with Gesicki. I've got him at 10 on the week.
Yes, I have him at 10 as well, but not Tua in this one, right?
Correct. He's outside the top 15 for me, but super close. I mean, it's Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Tua Tagovailoa in my rankings respectively. So it's a tough decision. I don't know if there's the upside there with Tua, but you can look his way if you need to.
Okay, let's go to the Saints. You're obviously starting Alvin Kamara. How about Taysom Hill, Yates?
Yeah, Alvin Kamara, please bounce back, because he was also on my Super Bowl team. But Taysom Hill, we talked about him earlier. I've got him at QB9 on the week. With his rushing floor, I still think that you can look his way. Tougher matchup, though, up against Miami.
Anybody else in the Saints, Yates?
No, Marcus Callaway had a good game last week, but you cannot trust him in week 16. I would not be surprised if he came out with like two targets this week. So, nope, no one else on the Saints. It's Kamara, it's Taysom Hill, and that's it.
All right, let's hope this entire podcast is not irrelevant by the time you listen to it on Friday morning. Thank you to DraftKings. Remember, new customers can bet $5 on any of the four teams playing on Christmas to win their game. And if they do, you win $150 in free bets on a $5 bet when you use our code Fantasy Pros. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code Fantasy Pros. I hope everyone who celebrates has a wonderful and merry Christmas. Enjoy the games. I will catch you again on Sunday night.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.
I'm Viosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.